Christ, I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, friend, he wants to be yours. He can be yours. He came to be yours. The book of Luke 19 and 10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Look, friend, if I were you and I were lost, knowing what I know now, friend, hey, listen, I would run to Jesus so hard. I'd run so hard, I'd think I'd never run that hard before. But I'd run to Him. I'd fall before Him. I'd cry and say, "Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I'm telling you, friend, we're running out of time quickly. Jesus is coming soon. There's an eternity that is ahead for all of us. And I want you to know, you need to make preparation. You need to make preparation to be in the right place for eternity. Debbie's got a song she's going to do. The title of it is "Fastened to the Rock by the Grace of God." I'll meet you back in the book of Daniel chapter 3 with the message the Lord has laid on my heart about three Hebrew children.
Oh, sometimes my hope looks dim, but my faith must be in Him, looking for answers to come while I wait. But I know one thing for sure, in Jesus Christ I am secure, and I know I am fastened to the rock. Comes from You, and I know with You that I'll carry on. For my anchor holds fast to this rock that will ever last. How blessed I am to be fastened to the rock. Sweet. was laid upon the Lord, and stand on the rock. I am fastened to the rock.
Well, thank you, Debbie. I'll tell you, friend, listen, that's the only place that you'll be able to stand. The Word of God tells us that there are two foundations you can build upon for eternity. One is the sand, and the other is the rock. And friend, that rock is the Rock of Ages. If you're building on the sand, it'll not stand. Whatever you're building, it'll fall and you'll fall with it. But I'll tell you what, if you start building on the Rock of Ages, that tried stone, that precious stone, that sure stone, that chief stone, listen, you'll be able to stand and withstand for all of eternity. Hey, Debbie and I are glad that you've decided to tune in today, and we trust that our time will be a blessing. Like I told you, I've opened my Bible to the book of Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture out of this passage and share with you a message. I pray, oh, how I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Hey, all of you know at the making of this program, at the first staring of this program, we are standing on the threshold of a brand new year. A brand new year. Look, we're ready to go in like the children of Israel did, to a degree, into something brand new, into a place that they had never been. Now, they had all of God's promises, and do you want me to tell you something? We have God's promises too. I hope this message is an encouragement to you. I hope it blesses you. I hope it charges you, and I hope God uses it to create confidence, not in ourselves, but in God Almighty. Now, I'm going to break in, friend. I'm going to break in to a conversation that King Nebuchadnezzar was having with three Hebrew children by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This took place in the Valley of Dura, where Nebuchadnezzar, after he had a dream that is recorded in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, after he had that dream, after Daniel gave him the interpretation of it, we don't know how long a period of time had passed before he built this, and before we have the events that are recorded in chapter 3 here of the book of Daniel. But we find, friend, we find that Nebuchadnezzar had built that image, and he required all of the who's who in the kingdom to simply come. So this time, friend, we find that because of a series of events that had happened in that place, and I'll say more about them, Lord willing, in just a minute, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought before the king, and the king speaking to them. And listen to what he says as he continues his speech in verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods?" Now, if you're reading your Bible, pay attention. That's a little g, gods. "Nor worship the golden image which I have set up," which was a picture or an image of him. I mean, to tell you, he wanted them to know it was a picture of what he thought about himself. Listen now. But he said, where was I at? Oh, in verse 15, "And if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well." Watch this next word. "But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." And who is that God? Notice now, if you're reading, that's a big G God that shall deliver you out of my hands. Who is that God? Well, I'll tell you what, he's going to meet him. He's going to find out about him. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king," O Nebuchadnezzar, boy, I love this. You talking about a great passage of Scripture. You talking about great confidence in God. You talking about having things settled in their heart and in their mind and in their lives before they ever got to this place. This is a testimony of it. And if this isn't a message of encouragement, this isn't a message of help for me and you in the day and the hour that we live in, listen, I've never seen it, I've never read it, I've never heard it. He said, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, big G God, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, little g gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, I'll tell you what, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had been taught the Word of God. They knew that the Word of God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. They knew that the Word of God said, thou shalt not bow down before any image. And you know what? They kept God's Word. So here's what I want to talk about. Here's what I want to try to preach about today. I want to talk about what it takes to stand. What it takes to stand. May I tell you, sir, ma'am, with all of my heart, I believe, in fact, I know, we're living in the last days. We are living in the days that the Word of God has prophesied about, has spoken about multiple times, friend. We're living in those days when we can expect any day, I believe, the return of Jesus Christ. We're living in the days of the last apostasy that will be manifest on planet Earth that Paul spoke about in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That one-of-a-kind apostasy. That apostasy that goes above and beyond every other apostasy that we have record of in the Word of Almighty God. We're living in that day and hour that precedes the second coming of Christ and precedes, friend, that awful time of Jacob's trouble when God would judge not only the Jews but all the world in relationship to what they have done with His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we look at this, as we look at what God has given to us in this passage, we've got to understand that it is intended to encourage us. It is intended to build up our faith. It is intended, friend, to cause us to realize that God is a very present help in the time of need. Now look, there's a lot of things we don't know. But thank God there are some things that we do know, and we find some great truths in this Word today that are meant to encourage us, that are meant to build up our faith, and that are meant to cause us to realize, just as sure as we're where we're at today, if God has done it once, He can do it again. But wait just a minute. That doesn't mean He'll do the same for me and you that He did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we can rest assured that God will never change, that God will keep His Word, that God will keep His promises, and that God, friend, listen, will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, we're living, like I just told you, in the last days. And one of the great signs of the last days is deceit. Now listen, I know there's always been deceit because there has always been deceivers. Without a doubt, that has been a truism. But let me tell you what He said. The Spirit said, who is God, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It was Jesus Himself, sir, ma'am, in the book of Matthew chapter 23, that great book on the last days, on the days when the tribulation would be ongoing on planet Earth. Listen, Jesus said four times that we are to be cautious about not being deceived. He uses the word or one of its cognate forms four times in the 24th chapter of the book of the Gospel according to Matthew. So you know what I think we ought to be? I think we ought to be aware that, listen, deception is running deep in this day, in this hour, and I believe with all of my heart the third chapter of the book of Daniel tells us how that Satan works, how that the coming Antichrist is going to work on planet Earth when he comes and as he does even today, works to deceive, even as Jesus said, the very elect, if possible. Now, I'm telling you, friend, it's strange days and times that we are living in. And that it is true, friend, it is true that we are overcomers. Our faith makes us overcomers. Our trust in Almighty God makes us overcomers. And though we profess Christ, it's not us that lives the Christian life as much as it is, according to the book of Galatians 2:20, Christ living in us and hence living through us. So let's look at a couple of things. Let's see what this Word of God tells us today. What it takes to stand, first of all, is confidence in His purpose, in His person. Now, I'm not talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't standing confident in their own self. Now, they were obedient. They believed God's Word. They believed the God of the Word. And they were putting into action the very Word that God had given to their nation. They had been taught it. They embraced it. They believed it. And they were living it down in this place that their nation had gone because of their disobedience, because judgment had fallen upon them to a place called Babylon, a place, friend, that was far away from their homeland, a place that was filled with paganism and idolatry. In fact, God cured them of that down in the Babylonian captivity. And listen now, even there when they were out of their own surroundings, even there, and I'm going to use this phrase, when they were out of place on many levels, even there when they were in a place that they didn't want to be, you know what they did? They decided that they would put confidence in God Almighty, the God that they knew to be the one true God, the big G God, and not any little G God. Listen to what he said in verse 16. I don't know who the spokesman was. Maybe it was Shadrach because he was listed first. Maybe they said it in harmony. Maybe they said it, friend, together. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, they didn't do it in a smart aleck way. They were just confident. They were just thorough. They just listened forth their faith, what they were and were not going to do, straight before the king, and then let him decide and determine what he would do. Said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, it's already decided. We've not been over here biting our fingernails, wiping the sweat off of our face. We determined this a long time ago. And let me tell you where I think they determined it. I believe you can find it back over in chapter 1 of the book that we're reading from. Listen, when Daniel and the others purposed in their heart, and I believe that they were the three others at least that did, that they would not defile themselves in that land. They made up their mind way before they got to this place to where they had to make a decision. You see, they had already making it, so it was easy to declare it. It says, if it be so, our God, big G God, whom we serve, now listen to this, is able to deliver us. Now they didn't know what God would do. They did not know what God would do, but they knew what they would do. They knew what they would do regardless of what God did or not know. But they said, we know that God is able to deliver us, from the burning fire furnace. And oh, by the way, King, He will deliver us from thy hand. But be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve the God, thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It's up to Him, King, but we're going to be faithful to Him because we know He's always faithful to us. And He goes on to say, and the next thing is, not only do we need to be confident in His, have confidence in His person to stand, we've got to have confidence in His power. Let me say it again. They said, look, that he is able. Now listen, we know God is able. When the gay angel Gabriel came to Mary, she said, how shall these things be? And you know what he did? He answered her, gave her one of the greatest answers of anyone and any place that we can find in the entire Word of God. How shall this thing be? Do you know what he said? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. And we've got to put our trust, our confidence, our faith in one who is able. And listen, here's the deal. We've got to understand that he is able, regardless of what he does or does not do, in answering our prayers in the way we want him to, or even think that he ought to. Here's what we need to do to continue to stand. Not only do we need to have confidence in his person, confidence in his power, but confidence in his faithfulness. These three men said, now look, we don't know something. We don't know whether he'll deliver us out of the fiery furnace, but we are confident in these two things. Number one, he'll deliver us out of thy hand, O King. He will deliver us out of thy hand, and he is able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace, but we don't know what he'll do. But we're still going to trust him. We're still not going to bow. We're still not going to budge, even if we have to burn. So, you know what? In order to be able to stand, we have to put our confidence in his person, not us, in the person of the Almighty, in the person of the great I Am that I Am, in the person of the one that loves us, in the person of one, friend, who is faithful and just, who always, always does what is right. And you know what else we got to do? We've got to put confidence in his power and confidence in his faithfulness. But wait just a minute. There's one more. We've got to put confidence in the cause that we're in. Now, boy, in that day, this is a picture of the last day apostasy. This is a picture of what the Antichrist is going to do after he takes power in the book of the Revelation. At the break point, the last part of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week. He is going to take music. Oh, by the way, he has taken music and continues to do that in this day to deceive multitudes, to feed doctrine that is damning to them, doctrines that are deceiving, that are deceitful. Deceitful men, deceivers are doing it every day, standing in the pulpits across America and around the world. Satan is using deceit. And listen, friend, it's largely swallowed and received without question because of the kind of music that precedes it. Hey, listen, friend, the devil knows what he's doing. The devil knows what it takes to bring deception into the heart of men and women on planet Earth. And look, friend, we don't know what God's going to do. Paul tells us that the Lord delivered him out of the hand or the mouth of the lion, in the book of 2 Timothy 3. But he goes on in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 to write his last pages, to write his last words before he went under the chopping block of Nero at Rome. And he knew that God, he went on to say in verse 18, that God would deliver him from every evil work and that he would preserve him. Hey, listen, folks, we don't know what God will allow us to face. Martyrdom is taking place throughout the world on Christians, against Christians. And it's happening at a ferocious rate, if you will. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. We can stand. We can endure what we cannot joy. We can stand and even withstand by the grace of God. But you got to make your mind up before you get to that place. You need to stand. You have to have your mind made up, friend, when it comes time to stand. And if you put your confidence not in yourself, but in God, in His person, if you put your confidence not in your abilities, but in God's power and the power of the Almighty, if you put your confidence not in whether or not you'll be faithful, but in the fact that He has always been and always will be faithful, and if you put your confidence, friend, in the cause that He has called you to, I'm going to guarantee you something. You'll be able to stand. You'll be able to stand. Hey, listen, I hope this encouraged you. I know it's presented in a little different way, but I'll tell you what, the way I present it doesn't change what I present. God's given this to us to encourage us in these last days of deceivers and deception to be able to stand. And I'm going to pray that you and I both will until it comes. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TomAndDeebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.